Hey Airheads! Today's episode of Aficionados Internet Radio is brought to you by Audible.com. If you sign up today, you can get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial if you go to audibletrial.com/aficionadoschris. With over 150,000 titles for your iPhone, Kindle, MP3 player, and my personal preference, the Android, you can choose from many titles out there. My personal recommendation would be Ron Perlman's memoir, Easy Street, The Hard Way. Once again, if you want a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at Audible.com, go to audibletrial.com/aficionadoschris. The link will be in the description. Now, let's start the show.
You're listening to Aficionados Internet Radio, aka
What the
Air.
Hey everybody, Aficionados Chris here, and I hope you're all having a wonderful day listening to Aficionados Internet Radio. And today I have a extremely special guest, someone who has been a major inspiration to not just me, but several other aspiring content producers, whether they be reviewing movies, reviewing TV shows, or comic books, especially in his case. Has a fantastic review show, one of my favorites, and has been for many years to come, Atop the Fourth Wall. He is actually currently working on getting a movie based on his web series in production. It's doing very well so far, but it could be doing better. We have Lewis Lovehog, also known as Linkara. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Over the moon, finally getting to speak to someone who's meant a lot to me, as I should say. But it's good to have you on here, and it's a real honor. I mean, I've interviewed voice actors before, and now you are like the official crowning achievement. I don't know what that makes you feel.
Oh, shucks. I am more popular than people who have appeared in shows that have been watched by millions of people, so.
Oh, really? We got some competition?
I'm kidding.
Well, you're definitely bigger than me. I had to use you to help boost my subscriptions recently.
Well, it's no problem because you paid for it.
This is true. I paid, but it was worth it. Definitely worth it. Helped a lot, and it's very gracious of you to help out a poor content producer in need. But yes,
no problem at all. Your promo was actually really dang good, and so I thought it came out really well.
Oh, well,
and I'm glad it was helpful.
Well, you certainly did. But yes, like we said, you're currently working on the movie of Atop the Fourth Wall. And Atop the Fourth Wall, you have done over, if hopefully I'm not mistaken, because there's been so many. Haven't you done over 300 episodes of the show?
Over 320 now, I think, actually.
320, holy crap.
And this is what happens when you produce a weekly show uninterrupted for 6 years, sacrifice all social life, social graces, personal hygiene takes a downturn.
Well, I mean, your schedule is always packed. In fact, it's actually a blessing that you even have the time to talk to me for such a brief moment, as it were, because you're always working. And I think it's something a lot of your fans don't really consider, is that you work yourself very hard to produce high quality content every week. Like that takes a lot of work.
High quality. No. But yeah, it is, and I am constantly working, because you kind of have to when you work for yourself and you work from home, because that's the trade-off. People think that the idea of working from home is this blissful environment where you always get to do anything, you just slouch around, not worry about anything. Of course, you actually have to do the work in order to justify, you know, working from home and whatnot, which in my case means I have to work all the time researching comic stuff, thinking of jokes, editing. In fact, when this interview is over, I'm going to be going back to my office to get back to editing the episode for tomorrow.
Constantly working. Like a semi-workaholic.
Yep, and then, of course, now with the Patreon, I had to set up like actual release dates for History of Power Rangers, which means I actually have to, you know, do all the workload for that one, which had slowed to about once per year if we were lucky, because it was just so time consuming to do that. So I've got a few things on my plate now.
I think a few is an understatement. You still got Omicron Let's Plays to work on as well, don't you?
Yep, a lot more Pokemon Omicron, which I need to edit a whole bunch more episodes. With Omicron, I edit them in batches because mostly it just involves plugging the footage in, letting it play out, cutting out dead spaces, and it's probably one of the easiest things I produce, so I can just get a whole bunch of them out there and have a buffer. Yep. But I think I've done like 2 episodes now on buffer, so I need to edit some more together. But I got MAGFest coming up next week, so.
And that's another thing. You do a lot of traveling because you go to a lot of conventions as well. Do you ever have any time to yourself?
Last weekend I took my first vacation in like 2 years.
Oh Jesus!
Actually, 1 year, because if we count me going off to the wedding of Paw and Elisa, I technically counted that as a vacation, but I was actually sick during that too, so.
I actually wasn't even aware of that. Well, congratulations to them, I suppose.
You're really not following things. You have a baby now, too.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, there are a lot of producers on that site. It's hard to keep track of everybody's social life, I suppose.
Yeah, it's all good. No worries.
Yeah. But I think the one thing I want to bring up, and, you know, to bring up a previous point where I said that you have heavily inspired not just me, but a lot of other people. I think it's obvious, one of the big things that sets your show apart from a lot of the other ones is the continuing storylines, which has definitely kept my interest. It's one of the only shows where, not to brag, but you know, there are other shows out there that do weekly episodes. You know, Nostalgia Critic does them at least bi-weekly. Brad Jones does his show every week. But your show is the only one where I actually get giddy and excited when a new episode comes out, because I love the reviews, but I'm also very invested with the storylines. And I think that's a really hard thing to say about a web review show that actually has storylines that I get sucked into, because the characters are great, the acting's pretty good, I'd say, and they're just fun to watch. What made you decide that a review show should even have a continuing story or characters or anything like that? Was there any kind of third-party influence, or was it just something that you just came up with on a whim?
Well, that was it's pretty much exactly what you said right there, your giddiness and anticipation of each passing week. Mm-hmm. I wanted something to draw viewers in and want to keep coming back week after week to see if the storyline would develop anymore. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, okay, we'll do this thing where there's like a robot version of me running around, and I'll figure out the details later. I'm not kidding either. The first two storylines were very much half-baked and flying by the seat of my pants, just trying to make up stuff as I went along. Usually near the end of them I'll have figured out where it's going, but those first two I had nothing really planned. I just kind of started. I had random ideas and I figured I would figure out how they all connected later, and they actually did end up going well. After that I've been more studious in planning things out and figuring out how they'll work, foreshadowing and elements like that.
And because of that, I think it segues perfectly into the fact, because you do these storylines, you're going to eventually, because the Indiegogo is doing fantastic, 43,000, I believe, you're currently at?
I think we just hit 44,000 this morning. Yeah, we in fact are at exactly 44,000, oh, 40,005, I just updated.
there we go, it keeps going.
Yep, and we have just under 2 weeks left now. So what I'm hoping is we will make the 50,000 goal, because 40,000 was the bare minimum. That was exactly what we needed to make the movie. The extra money will go into paying the actors off some more, because I right now have a set budget set aside for their time. I'd like to give them more, and it's also emergency money in case things end up costing more than we thought they would, as well as additional set piece details, because one of the aspects of this is we're going to actually build a Comic-Con 1 set.
Which I'm very excited to see what that's going to look like.
And I think people will like it, because I've had multiple meetings now with my set designer, and he's got he's putting the wheels in motion. He's going to actually start physically building everything once the Indiegogo is over, because I need to actually start paying him stuff then. And one of the things about that is that we're going to see more parts of Comic-Con 1, which involves, since we only are so limited by the set pieces in space and whatnot, aspects of the set will be reversible. So there'll be multiple walls that we can switch around for various things. Mm-hmm. And of course, that is for as many pieces as we want to have for it, it costs more money. So we have a limited like 5 or 6 wall pieces right now. We'd like to build more to have the entire bridge set closed off, as opposed to having to constantly move walls around to account for different areas. But we got he has revised his estimates, so it actually will cost less than he originally thought it would to build the initial set pieces. So we may be able to do that even without the extra bells and whistles of the money. But either way, it's going to be awesome. And once we hit and if you want an incentive for yourself, anyone out there to get there to the 50,000 goal, the movie will be released online for free if we hit that. Otherwise, it'll be DVD only, and anyone who illegally uploads it to YouTube, which I will then call my network to monetize and give me all the profits from it anyway.
You thought of everything. It would actually be a benefit to be able to see it online, but you know, as someone speaking who's bought the first 2 volumes of your DVDs, I don't mind at all buying a physical copy of this thing. I support physical media and independent artists.
Likewise, I'm actually as much as I'm happy that digital media has proliferated everywhere, I'm sad that that people seem to be calling this the death knell of physical media, because I much prefer having physical media on hand.
Well, considering my whole series of videos and career is built on physical media, if that goes away, I can kiss my career goodbye. So I certainly hope that doesn't happen.
It's actually why I don't have Netflix or Hulu Plus or anything like that. It's not that I don't want to be able to watch a bunch of other TV shows and whatnot on there. It's that it's completely worthless to me whenever I need clips or whatnot from shows. Because you know, I occasionally have like, you know, reference gags, or I'll use clips of a movie or something to the background stuff to illustrate like a movie adaptation or whatnot. Yeah. And I have no idea how to rip from Netflix, if that's even possible.
Well, I mean, like,
So it's useless to me if I want to actually have that.
You would need a like Fraps or something to do that.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to just throw in the physical disc and rip it off.
Besides, I paid for the physical disc, so why shouldn't I be able to?
It's too complex for such a minute thing. But the most important thing that I would like to know, and I think everyone out there who's probably who've heard of the show or have seen the show are probably wondering, what inspired you to want to take Atop the Fourth Wall to feature length endeavors? Ordinarily I'd say to the big screen, but we don't even know if that's going to happen.
That's not going to happen. you could see maybe AVGN the movie do that, considering you can't see it right now, but like I am at mid to low level of internet celebrities in terms of overall popularity. Yeah. Then you got stuff like AVGN, which is you know, 7-digit viewership kind of a thing. Where he's known even among people who aren't, you know, who don't frequent geek circles or the like.
Yeah.
And actually worked in Hollywood to produce his movie, so you could see him actually having a limited distribution or something of his film.
Yeah.
In actual theaters, and plus I think he actually did premiere it in a few theaters already. So
I think he premiered at the that theater where they shot The Blob, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I'm more like Roger Corman. I'm happy with my direct to video material.
There we go. Lewis Love Hogg is like Roger Corman. But yes, what made you want to take the series to feature length endeavors? Was it because of the storylines? Was there just a particular story you couldn't see done as snippets at the end of the series, or was it just
mostly it's just a thing I've wanted to do. The show has been going on for what, 6-7 years now, Channel Awesome has not been producing any more anniversary movies, partially because of cost, partially because of time. You know, just, there's various reasons why. So I was like, well, I enjoy doing these kind of films and exciting the fan base about something, and I want to see if I could produce something of this level, and you know, have it be crowdfunded. Is there enough support, you know, especially for like any future endeavors I may want to do with the show? And this experience has proven that yes, people are in fact very much interested in seeing stuff produced like this.
So essentially, it'll be a good little sort of replacement for the anniversary specials that a lot of people, including myself, very much miss.
And for all we know, Channel Awesome may do more in the future. It's just right now, this I'd like to see if it's a viable thing for any future kind of things. If, say, if the higher-ups don't want to fund it, maybe the people will fund it. Mm-hmm. But in terms of why this particular story, it's not going to be the most groundbreaking, ultimate adventure, super-duper awesomest, best thing I've ever produced, but it's a fun adventure story. It's about Linkara's character. It's about the other characters of the show interacting with people who they don't normally do. You learn some more details about them. You get some insights into them, and you get to see all the story. If you get to see the storyline stuff, if I actually had a regular budget.
Well, there you go. So it's like a bigger budget episode of Atop the Fourth Wall.
Hmm.
Except, apparently, at least according to the synopsis, there won't be a review in it, like the AMGN movie.
There will not, because there's not really any comic book like that that has that kind of reputation as E.T. has. There might be there are certainly really awful comics and ones that are so infamous that I've had to end up reviewing them, stuff like the Doom comic, Holy Terror, stuff that is very, very well known, but is not exactly, but nowhere near the story level of E.T. for the Atari 2600. In this case, the movie is not about reviews, it's about the characters behind the reviews. And of course, the fact that Linkara is a comic reviewer is still a part of it, and it informs something that will happen later on in the movie. But in terms of an actual review during the movie itself, it just doesn't work.
Well, that and, you know, any comic book you throw in would probably get some kind of copyright issue.
That's the other thing. It would have to be something public domain or something I just made up, and who would want to see me review something that doesn't actually exist?
Wow, well, you'd be surprised, you know, so
if I actually reviewed Blood Gun.
There you go. Now, the biggest thing, you're kind of notorious as you're very particular as far as continuity, how your series connect, especially when you were in anniversary specials. You made sure that what was in the specials still kept in continuity with the show and your storylines. Are we to believe that the movie is set in the same continuity of the show, or is it its own standalone thing?
It is set in the same continuity of the show. Because I am a hound for that, and something I'll be getting into in actually the next History of Power Rangers, which covers Power Rangers RPM, is the fact that I'm not really a huge fan of different universe kind of things where they have the same general premise. It's like Mobile Suit Gundam. You ever watch any of Gundam?
I did when I was a kid, but it's just so long ago I actually don't remember much of it.
Japan loves this thing where they will have a show which, you know, the story goes on for a while, but then they'll suddenly decide, okay, we're going to start over, new continuity. I don't like multiple continuities of the same franchise. I much prefer a long, ongoing story for as long as they can push it, introducing new characters, keep things on. It's very much a superhero comic mentality, because I love seeing what's the next story, what's the next thing that's going to happen in these people's lives. And it's rare, of course, to see that kind of thing these days, especially with increased amounts of retcons and whatnot, and huge universe reset kind of a thing. It's a shame, but I understand why they do it. And I'm not, you know, and I don't hate the individual products if they do separate out. But in terms of actual theory, I don't like separate continuities. I much prefer one big ongoing story. So yes, the movie will indeed be in continuity with the rest of the, Atop the Fourth Wall storyline.
Well, I guess it's good to be an Atop the Fourth Wall fan.
It'll be self-contained, of course. You don't need, I've been dropping hints about, stuff that's going to end up in the movie, mm-hmm. and it's based around Atop the Fourth Wall elements, but you could watch this movie without having an extensive knowledge of Atop the Fourth Wall beforehand, and once it's over, it's over. It'll be mentioned on the show, and it might influence things that happen later. But it is not. But I'm not going to suddenly split it into three movies or something.
Well, I'll be sure to make sure my mom sees the movie once it's out.
Or that the final conclusion to it is in the storyline versus, you know, it's 3-act structure. It's the beginning, the middle, and the end. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Structure and, well, I mean, you're the perfect kind of person to pay attention to those kind of things.
Now, I think
the best thing is because, you know, taking knowledge and inspiration from James Rolfe, who we've mentioned, because he's also done a similar endeavor with his character, the Vangry Video Game Nerd, by bringing that to the feature-length endeavor. Now, he's, you know, when he did his videos on his production blog, all the experiences, whether they be good or bad, are you basically prepared for the experience of making a film? Like, is there anything you're worried about or anything you're looking forward to in experiencing such a enormous endeavor? Like, making a film is a big responsibility, and what do you think on that?
The two things I'm primarily concerned about are budget and time. Mm-hmm. Budget, I think, will be fine. The studio that I'm going to be filming a lot of the movie in, it does cost money to be there each day. Mm-hmm. So I'm worried about us going over time that we have to spend in there. But then I'm worried about the time itself, because really the experiences of the anniversary movies have helped influence how I'm going to be producing this and making it as good a product as I can. But I'm always worried about, okay, we're falling behind the scheduled amount of time we're going to have. Oh crap, this is going to be much longer, and we're going to have to cut into like the break days I'm setting aside for the cast, because that was one of the things that happened in To Boldly Flee. It was a 3.5-hour movie that we're trying to film in 6 days, so of course we had very little downtime, very long days. It became a bit of a nightmare in that regard. So I'm hoping that that time has been budgeted out appropriately this time, and the fact that it's not going to be 3.5 hours will help with that. And since we're looking at a 10-day shooting schedule, I think we'll be able to get this done with extra days for people to relax and do their own things, and, you know, after physically intensive stuff, and then we can, maybe we'll even get done early, which would be really nice.
Well, I'm certainly hoping for that, because I'd like to see this movie sooner rather than later.
Hmm.
And I think the last thing I think is very important, especially since the kind of people who listen to my show or these podcasts, there's a lot of aspiring comedians, critics, content producers, people that want to do what people like you and Doug and Spoonie and so many other people do for a living. What do you think would be the best advice to give to those kind of people who have such goals in their head and how they should get started or that kind of thing?
The general advice I always give to people who ask me ideas for this is, even if you're not funny, be entertaining. Command our attention. You are speaking with authority speak with confidence. Make it so we know you are everything we should be paying attention to. And most importantly, if you make a mistake, own up to it. Don't try to insult the people who point out the mistakes. Don't just roll your eyes at it. Acknowledge that you made a mistake and move on. Don't dwell on it. Just acknowledge your wrongdoing, apologize, say you'll do better, and move on from there.
I think that's very sound advice, I'd say.
Hmm.
Well, I'm glad to have you here, and for people who have been listening who somehow are not familiar with his work, you can go to atopthefourthwall.com and watch his series. The best thing about his website is that he has every single of his 320-so episodes cataloged, no pun intended. You can watch them all. I highly recommend binge-watching them. And if you get caught up, be sure to look into the movie, and if you're generous enough to help out indie filmmaking and making dreams come true, throw him a little money. I certainly have. I've donated $5 to his little project, and I think you should too. The link to his Indiegogo will be in the description below, so click that if you feel generous. And speaking of generous, I'd like to thank Lewis Lovehog, aka Linkara, for taking a few minutes to speak with me, talk about his new project, and it was just great talking to you.
Thank you, sir. This is the sign of every single night. If you enjoyed it, then please like and share. This was a podcast which he likes to call a hey.